I want to welcome everybody to the City Council meeting in the City of Shore Acres, Monday, May 11, 2015, 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call.
Mayor Schnell, present.
Bill Moyer, here.
Bob Bunch, present.
McMoses, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
All right, thank you. Moving on to item number two, Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentations. 3.1, recognition of National Police Week. That being said, I have a proclamation here. Now therefore, I, Rick Moses, Mayor of City of Shore Acres, do hereby proclaim the week of May 10th through the 16th of 2015 as Police Week in the City of Shore Acres, Texas, to honor the service and the sacrifice of law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty while protecting our communities and safeguarding our democracy. I'd like to present this to Chief Harrison.
Chief, I think you want to take some pictures.
Just stand right here. Close his eye drop back.
There you go, that works for us.
Second line of business, item 3.2, we have a proclamation for Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. There again, now therefore, I, Rick Moses, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2015 as Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month in the City of Shore Acres. We'd like to present this to the motorcycle club that's here today. We greatly appreciate you.
Thank you.
Just touch the screen on that one.
Let's get my folks to run over here on the second area. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You already
tied
up.
That is true.
Thank you.
Thank you!
Bless you.
Thank you!
Bless you.
One more time.
I'm working on it.
Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular city council meeting for April 27, 2015. If the council has time to look it over, I'll entertain a motion.
Move.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. May I have a second?
A second.
Ms. Smith, all those approved?
Aye.
Against? Please have it. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses, report on meetings attended. Had several meetings, mainly with DOT. So it's still over the sound wall. We had a meeting at the Yacht Club recently, and I've had numerous meetings with them since then on the phone. I actually have a meeting in person with them tomorrow afternoon down at the sound wall where the water level is having an issue on the north end. So we'll be busy on that tomorrow. Other than that, there's no other reports that I've had any other meetings going on. With that said, I'm going to move on to item 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from taking discussion, deliberation, and items specially identified on this agenda. Tonight, I know we have a few people that want to speak about some certain issues that have been going on. I will remind you to stay within the bounds, please. With that being said, I'm going to start with the right side of the room and work my way this way. Would you? Anybody here? Anybody in the front? Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Please, if you'll step up and give your name and your address, we'd appreciate it.
My name is Ronald Moore. I live at 401 Oakdale. And I have a problem with drainage in the sewer system or the water system there. At my house, there's two culverts that are 24-inch, and they're a given elevation of 10 at the start. I have some copies for y'all. You guys can look at what I'm talking about. All it is is just a guess measurement.
I had a bunch of copies, but all of them play right away.
Anyway, this 10 is just a guess measurement, height. And what I'm doing, what we have is I'm supposed to just given elevation. It's not the actual elevation. It drains from that point to my culvert at my address. It drains 6 inches to the first culvert, and it drains 5 or 7 or 8 or another inch and a half further at my end. Now the next set of culverts, you got the next house, which is behind me at Shea Lawn and Westview. The culverts are 7 3/8 down from that flow line. And they end at 8 1/8 down below that flow line. Now, at Shea Lawn, they put in three egg-shaped. And they're 14 by 20 in size. And their flow line is actually an inch and a half above the flow that's supposed to be at my house or at Oakdale and Westview. So those culverts that you can't run water an inch and a half higher. I've had a problem since they redid Shady Lawn. And it flows on down, and at the very end, at Baywood and Westview, it's 16 and a half inches down below where it starts at Oakdale and let's see. So it definitely flows that direction. Now I shot these graves with a my own estimate. And I've been doing this stuff for since I've been a baby, I guess. And so I know exactly how to set the flow on that. So the water never drains out of my coach. Never. It's always got water standing in it. This is the three culverts I'm talking about that are right here, or right here, rather. We've got the egg-shaped culverts. This is the water that stays in the ditch all the time.
We never, actually ever. Had a dog that drowned in it.
Yeah, we actually had a dog that drowned in there.
She was a fatty.
He couldn't get out and stayed muddy all the time, so he got in there and drowned. So, I mean, it never goes. I've written to Sheila Jackson Lee. She was the person I was supposed to write to at the county, and got nothing. Anyways, you can't run water uphill. They dug the dishes out. I put sand in them so they'd stay dry for a while, and they either dug them out again. Well, you can't run water uphill. I've had that problem ever since they did Shady Lawn, and let's see. I'd like for someone to do something. I've already gone as far as I know to do.
Sir,
appreciate
you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
I have some.
Just got that thing. Right. Here. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm Ron Morris, wife, Margaret Morris, and I was reviewing my taxes, and LaPorte gets a $60 tax break. Joy Creek gets only $40 for seniors. And they said that was decided by council. So I was just wondering if y'all be more appreciative or if something could be done about that to give us a increase that to 60 instead of 40. And more along the lines of the ditches, they need to be cleaned. Water can't flow if the ditches are full of debris and the grass is growing there that impedes that ability. So I don't know who's supposed to take care of the ditches. Do we have somebody in the city that does that? That mows it and goes in there and weeds eat them or what?
Yes, we cannot really comment to anything that you say. So yes, that's my law. This is the type you just tell us and we're listening. Sure. It will be followed up. I can tell you that.
And regarding the police department, my sister and brother came to visit me. We're doing trimming trees, and they were really impressed with at the time it took. The police went around checking and observing and patrolling. They were quite impressed with that, so I want to say thank you to them.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it. Ms. Wells.
Does it have to be on the agenda that I'm speaking to?
No, ma'am. Just okay. Step up and you can speak on any item you like.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. I want to reiterate again, I've talked about this before, and this is the people on Miramar that are going faster than 20 miles an hour. It's still happening. I'm very concerned about the safety of the people that are driving and the people that are walking and the people in the golf carts. We started with golf carts. Now we've moved to ATVs, and I think the other one's called mules. And I'm seeing those go faster than 20 miles an hour. I'm also seeing children behind the wheel. So, like I say, I hate to be the spoil sport, but it's dangerous. I sit there, I see forest from my deck, and I see Miramar, and I see near misses. And it's a real concern. I'd appreciate it if we do something about the speeding on Miramar. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wells.
Lisa McCarty, 506 Baywood Street. I'd like to address two things, please. My water. I've yet to get a call back or an email back from the mayor or from the city administrator. You all came and replaced my meter on Friday without me being present, which was one of the things I wanted to be there for. I was supposed to get a call before you came out and just, ooh, surprise, we're replacing your meter. And I still have not gotten an answer as to why the thousands of difference in gallons of fluctuations per month. Like I said, I have my usage history, as I know you do. I'd be happy to go over it, try to come to some resolution here so I can leave you alone. And the second thing is a Facebook page that's ran by a neighbor that is addresses the city of Shoreacres. In my opinion, when horribly cruel things about your neighbors are posted online on a public forum, it should not be done on a community page that represents our city. Maybe you guys should create an official Shoreacres page so people know, because it puts our city in really bad light. Really, really bad light. And if you try to disagree on anything or say that's not okay, you get blocked and unfriended and removed from the page. But it's just, it's something to think about. You guys might want to do something, an official page. Thank you.
Thanks. Am I in this front row here? I'm sorry, I didn't see
it.
Go ahead, please.
I'm Felicia Rombo, 3416 Sunrise Drive. The flooding that's up at the front of Shoreacres at Bayou Forest Drive, I have been dealing with Lucio with TxDOT, Tommy with the county, and they are saying, I'm sorry to tell you guys, it belongs to you guys. I'm waiting on Tommy to give me like the official breakdown as far as where the county stops, where TxDOT stops, and everybody is once again saying that it's y'all. I should have an answer definitely by tomorrow with drawings, plans, and everything that I plan on giving you whenever he sends it over. And then another issue I'm having is I'm having unexpected visitors in four-legged forms. They slip and slide all over the grass, you know, the things you really don't want in your yard. I don't have kids. I have dogs. You know, I don't want to lose a dog to a critter. So wondering if there is a way that we could possibly, I don't want to say give like a membership, where my grandma lives, they have like membership dues or like, I am brain farting on what that thing's called. But anyways, you pay like, I don't know, $20-$25 a month, and if there's a lot that's not mowed, they'll come mow it, you know. But they also charge that property owner, you know, whatever their fee is to come and mow. Seriously, I have a jungle next to me, like corner Shoreacres at Sunrise Drive. I'm backwards today. But yeah, I don't know what to do. If I could buy the lot off the guy, I would have bought it, but he won't sell it. So, if we can just do something about the unwanted critters. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Kim Sanford, and I live at 211 Shoreacres Boulevard, and I have the Facebook page that's in question. There are actually several Facebook pages where current city council members and upcoming city council members are bashing the city. It's not just my Facebook page that shows different things that are currently going on. I know that nobody likes to hear it, but it is going on. These are some printouts of Ms. Schnell's comments regarding the mayor, Ms. Saw. You should have them because you wrote them. I really only have five, but I'm not trying to be angry. But anyway, so there's a lot of that going on. And Ms. Schnell had asked me or told me that I could do a public records request act to receive the minutes that are missing that she claims are a way for the city to inaccurately report what is going on. So I did a public request, but it was on Ms. Schnell. The information that I received was alarming. I received a letter from the city. Well, it was CC'd to me. It was a letter to the OAG that stated that some of the records cannot be released because they were tied to a temporary mental illness commitment. So I went to the city of LaPorte and I got police records from them. Those are public information. And they claim that Ms. Snow had threatened to kill herself and that she left the residence with two gun shorts and a tank top and that she was making terroristic threats. Coming from a city council member, that is very disturbing. It's dangerous to herself. She's a danger to the community. The guns could go off, shoot a kid, shoot a neighbor. I just think that it's inappropriate behavior. These are the police reports. There's several websites online where Mr. Jennings and Ms. Schnell continues to bash the city, which has caused a lot of chaos, which is why I'm here today. There's a lot of accusations being tossed around by Ms. Schnell about the competence of Mr. Stahl and other city council members. This has been going on for a long time. It's caused a lot of chaos in the city. The information that's on that police report, I feel, would be grounds for removal of Ms. Stahl from council. Ms. Schnell, sorry, from council. TML states that removal of council grounds are incompetency, official misconduct, or intoxication. Now, there's other members of our community that has witnessed her intoxicated, barely able to stand up throughout the community. But they fear her. They feel retaliation. They fear for their safety in the event that she finds out that they're the ones who have made some statements. And they would like to be able to make these statements without providing their information to just her. And fear is to protect their safety, basically. So I'm going to try to get those together and get those to you. Intoxication is grounds for removal. It says that it's grounds for removal if it appears that it's intoxication on or off duty calls for drinking and alcohol. Now, she put this item on the agenda because I did a public records request on her. The definition of corruption is political corruption occurs when an office holder or other governmental employee acts in official capacity for personal gain. The fact that she's put my records request for her personally on the agenda, I feel, is the definition of corruption. She's been running amok. Everybody in this room sitting up here has probably had some sort of dealings with her or have been attacked in some form or another by her. The fact that the letter I received that I was CC'd on that was sent to the OAG that is stating that she was committed on the mental illness. Now, I'm not claiming that she's a bad person because you have some mental illness, but it does make you incompetent to sit on city council. And it's not one incident. This letter to the OAG, actually, there's four or five police reports that are referenced in here. It's reoccurring. It continues to happen. The fact that we spend all of our time, the fact that this is even on the agenda when it's personal, she obviously knows that, she obviously knows about the public. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, though. Miss Liz.
Darling Devil Bay, 616 Baywood. Next door neighbor to Nancy, and I do not feel threatened at all by Nancy. She's dedicated. We're not perfect, but to stand up here and bash someone personally in front of everybody is ridiculous.
Thank you, Miss Bates. Miss Aarons.
Sally Aarons, 1118 North Country Club Drive. I need to say that I'm really disappointed that residents even had the need to speak about a fellow council member. I know you people have a lot to do, and it's disappointing to see an item placed on the agenda by said councilwoman that is not even council business, and the council has never acted upon an open records request. I want to read into the record the LaPorte Police Department event report that says that Nancy Schnell has threatened to kill herself, left residents with two guns, shorts, and a tank top, was transported to Bayshore Medical Center. The reason I read this is there is an inconsistency between the police report that I just read you and the letter from the city attorney in response to the open records request. You'll note that the event report states that Ms. Schnell left the residence with two guns and she was no longer on premises. The letter from the attorney states that the incident took place on her premises. This is significant because an incident occurring on a person's property is treated differently than an incident occurring on a public street. This might be viewed differently in terms of releasing the information requested through the Open Records Act. And I agree, the point is, if the councilwoman cannot take control of her own actions, how can she be judged competent enough to make decisions affecting the residents of the city of Shoreacres? There are other issues that have transpired. The mayor is the primary contact between the city and other municipalities or agencies like TxDOT, Port of Houston Authority. Yet Ms. Schneff has taken it upon herself to deal with these agencies directly. This is an insult to the mayor and other council members. I personally have been approached by other city staff and the Port of Houston staff asking why the city isn't embarrassed to have someone like Ms. Schnell on council. There was a voice recording of a councilwoman making a phone call to the Port of Houston Authority community hotline in which the words were so slurred as to be barely eligible. During my tenure as mayor, I was approached on at least three separate occasions by other council members to change the seat due to the smell of alcohol from the councilwoman. I don't know if the other council members are aware of the past history. I think you should be, and that's the purpose of my addressing you this evening. Thank you.
Hi, David Jennings, 1017 West Forest Avenue. I had no intention of addressing you tonight until my name was brought up. And yes, I will criticize council on occasion when I disagree with you politically. And that's just the way it is. Can't believe what I'm hearing tonight as far as attacking a person. I will tell you this. I've never worn shorts and a tank top outside. But I did witness a council member the other day mowing their grass with no shirt on. Mr. Wheeler, are we going to now criticize people for being outside with no shirts, tank tops? I don't understand what's going on here, but I promise you, Mike, I will not go outside without my shirt. I think that's a good thing for all of us. And I have no problem with a council member wearing shorts and a tank top. I really don't know why we're doing this tonight, but that's very interesting. But as far as my websites, I do run 2, 3, 4 sometimes. And yes, I will criticize you if I disagree with you. But I never attacked anyone personally, ever, during the entire campaign. I never attacked anyone personally, although I was attacked, slandered by some of these people. But that's okay. You know, it's First Amendment. I can handle it. But I want you to know that I didn't do it, and I don't know why you're here tonight criticizing and allowing people to attack a council member the way you are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Schnell, 618 Baywood. I'll let you guys know, my wife put that on the agenda tonight for reasons that are beyond anybody's imagination or they don't even know what that's all about. But being that it's brought up, my wife has decided that she's going to bring this out into the open, going to be open and honest with it. I don't necessarily agree with it because it's very personal. And let me see. Let me make another statement. It's not illegal to drink. I'm sorry, I have a beer every day when I get off work. Every day when I get off work. It's not illegal to drink. So the hatred that's being put forth with that is very disturbing to me. Yes, I'm going to defend my wife, and I'm going to defend my city. I've been here for 51 years. I've been in this community that many years. I've seen a lot of good people come and go, and I've seen a lot of bad people come and go. We need to keep the good people in here. We need to keep this city the way it's supposed to be. I don't think the bashing should be allowable. I think that is freaking ludicrous. And I just wanted to stand up and make that on record. So the people that are haters, I did go to the Meet the Haters meeting in the other room the other day. That's exactly what I was. I had left an hour after I got off into it, because I had a personal agenda to it. People weren't there to know what the candidates were for. They were there to be chastised. That being said, thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you, Mr. Snow. Yes, ma'am, please.
Hi, my name is Jerry Jennings. I live at 101747. You know, I don't usually come to council meetings because this is pretty contentious, and it's not a very comfortable feeling, I can tell you. I do want to say that, you know, with this past election, it was eye-opening to me to watch a museum fairly quiet about what's happening. Of course, I would defend my husband. Of course, we would all, right, our spouses, we love our families. But in this election specifically, I don't know how these sides are divided because I'm kind of out of the loop on purpose. But, you know, the amount of signs that my husband had stolen at every turn, I was sure he would not be elected. I was positive he wasn't going to be elected. But he was, and I'm grateful for that because there's more to what's going on in the city besides the pettiness that's kind of going on. Just the fact that all the, you know, signs were stolen, and, you know, I just don't get that from a little city, but it happens, I guess. And then I will say one other thing, and that is, you know, the fact that we had to use an attorney to get to allow him to put the signs up. I know some people thought that that was a little thing, but it really wasn't. I mean, it really, the attacks really felt very, very personal. And it was kind of sad, if you can imagine. And if someone had just really looked at the law and looked at it, it was amazing to see that we had to spend money to do that. And, you know, with all of that said, the election's done, and, you know, they have voted on who's going to be on the council. I'm really hoping that everybody works together for the good of the city, because it really is a nice place to live. And I know all of you guys work extremely hard on the council, and I just want to thank you for all your work that y'all done. It's not an easy thing with the city kind of divided like it is, but hopefully we can all kind of get back to where we need to be. And, you know, but that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Okay, move on to item 7.0. 7.1. City Administrator David Stahl, General Activity Report. Mr. Stahl?
Good evening. I have a very brief report this evening. I have two items I'd like to share with you. We were contacted by Republic Services today, and the heavy pickup truck will return Thursday this week. Let's see if we can't get all of the trail off our streets. Great difficulty with them. We've been using an alternative vendor with limited availability, and they also went all the way. The other item I had is good news. I suppose that it isn't necessarily good news to everyone, but it really is for the city. We have received our certified estimate of property taxable value, property value in the city of Shore Acres, and we now have the highest property value in the city's history. And this is the estimate, the certified estimate we'll use for planning budget purposes. But our property value now is $115,249,538, which puts us well above where we were even prior to Ike. So we have rebounded in terms of our property value here. And, of course, I will also throw out that doesn't mean that the taxes will be higher, because the effective tax rate adjusts the tax rate back down. This is what we were hoping to have happen, so that our tax rate can get back to the range that it was pre-Ike. So we're headed in the right direction. And that's all I have this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Moving on to 7.2, monthly police department report. Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor. You've all seen my memo, so there's nothing new on there. I will call out that last month we had two citizens speak out on our actions at the pier, and you'll notice that suspicious circumstance or person, those numbers went up, because we're really working very more on the pier hard, making some good contacts there, especially late at night when folks don't need to be there. If they're there fishing or there for a reason, they're left alone. Quite often we find they're not there with any business, so they're asked to move on. We really concentrated the last couple of months on training. It was a good time to do it. Now every officer in the department received his first aid, CPR, and AED training. Get up to date on that. I'll also add, in the last month or so, we've added two master peace officers to the group that were advanced from their advanced peace officer certificate. And just in the last week, we've also added an advanced instructor proficiency certificate for Mr. Loveless. So we continue to hire good people, continue to train those good people to be better officers and to move forward. That helps the city, that helps the department, that helps the citizens. I do thank you for the proclamation. I'll let you know there was 10 Texas police officers added to that wall this week, or will be added to the wall this week. A sad time, but we sat back and we remember how those guys lived, not how they died, and that's actually inscribed up there. So again, I'm thankful for this city. I'm thankful for the support we get from our citizens, from our council, from Mr. Stahl. I think it's the best job in the world.
Thank you, Chief. Moving on to item 7.3, Michael Republican.
Anybody launch into that, I'd also like to ask those in the audience that have a flag pole at your home on May 15th to lower that to half staff in recognition of a National Police Week. Public Works, you'll see that we had a spike. We've gone for a long period of time with very few water break issues. And you'll see we have 7 mainline breaks and 7 leaks in this report. That's not good news, but let me tell you what the background on that is. We had a controller that went wild in the middle of the night, and it called for all 3 boosters at Water Plant 2 to come on and run continuously. The only scenario in which that should occur is when we have a fire and we're running several hydrants wide open. And as a result of that, it happened about 10 o'clock at night. And then, as you may know, from 11 o'clock at night to 4 in the morning, we refill our surface tanks at Water Plant 1. And so the pressure dropped while that valve opened, and we filled these 2 ground storage tanks here at Jason City Hall faster than we've ever filled them before. And at 4:30, when the valve shut, well, actually shut before that because it didn't take that long to fill it, but when it shut the valve, those booster pumps continued to run wild. And our water pressure in our system hit 80 PSI. And we maintained 80 PSI in the system until we had the first break. And it dropped into the 70s, and it stayed above 60 PSI until morning when we discovered the water breaks and the pumps running wild. So our system actually broke it, but it had to get to 80 PSI to cause those breaks. Prior to the work that we've done recently on the water system, we used to run 48 PSI. Hopefully you've noticed some improvement in your water pressure in the last year as we have raised that. We've seen fire flow on our hydrants throughout the city go up in magnitudes of 2 to 3 times what they were previously. All the way to the end of the city. And actually the improvement is more on the east side than the west side. So we have taken steps to work with our software to alert us and to shut down the system when we have those kinds of failures, but it was a failure and caused those breaks, and we repaired it. So it's good to know we have the water if we need it, but we just don't want it that way. The rest of the report, I think that some of these things I had already leaked to you at the last meeting, such as having another boom operator to mow ditches. We have been mowing the ditches 4 times a week, trying to keep up with the rapid growth that we're having right now. And we work from one end of the to the other. By the time we get back there, they're back definitely needing it. So. If your ditch needs mowing, we're on the way. We may not be there right now, but we're on our way to get that done. We've never mowed as consistently as much as we're doing right now, so that's a good thing as well. And that's all I've got for the closure.
Thank you, sir. We have automated trial business. We're going to have 8.1. Consideration and approval of invoices. If the council has time to look at our invoices.
Make a motion to approve the invoices.
Thank you. We have a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Any questions on the invoice? If none being, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Well, moving on to item point 8.2. Discussion of the city's actions in response to an open record request made by Ken Sanford on April 23rd, 2015. This will be by Alderman Schnell. This will be only we're going to discuss on the open records request. We will not be, I know there are comments we cannot respond, but we're not going to be responding about Facebook pages and whatnot on this. This is not part of that agenda request. But that's me said, Alderman Schnell.
Yes, I asked for this to be placed on the agenda. My husband alluded to it to clarify. Because it's out here now, it's on the city's agenda, the city attorney's letter to the state attorney as far as is it HIPAA covered, but then in the same sentence it says that it has to do with mental health. Well, to me that doesn't make a lot of good sense to say it might be covered by HIPAA and then be specific about what HIPAA may or may not cover. But that being said, because I mean I'm a mortician by trade, I don't even get to know what the people I'm embalmed die of. That's how strong HIPAA is. So now that we're all here, I'm going to tell you what happened. Over 7 months ago, October 2nd, I had a very bad day. I'd had a very bad time. For those of you that know and have been here for quite some time, a year ago this May, May 9th, 2014, my middle son Harrison had a catastrophic failure of a birth defect repair, and he went septic like this. And we found ourselves at Methodist Hospital in Houston for 8 days in a coma, 24 days there. Didn't know if he was going to live for the first 18. I chose not to leave Harrison's side. He was a senior in high school. I'm not leaving him. It was long, hard, exhausting, as you can imagine. I lost my job because I chose my son over my job. And the whole time I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to plan my own kid's funeral. I'm a mortician. I can't do this. Thank God, and because of the prayers of the community and friends and family, Harrison is still with us. He is doing well. He is a freshman in college, and I'm eternally grateful. And there were letters written. I would send letters to be read in open council appreciating all of you. There was also, we were having some marital problems that I didn't know we were having until I was gone for 24 days, and then I found out. Those are personal, and that's really none of your business. Not all of this is anyway. But what I did was, I grabbed two handguns and I went in my backyard. And I told my husband, maybe life will be better if I just blank and kill myself. So all I did, I threatened it, made a statement. He, out of concern for me, called the cops. The cops got there, they did what they had to do because it was about my own welfare. So I went to Bayshore Hospital. I was never given medication because I wasn't depressed. It was an acute event of just a really bad culmination of some terrible, terrible months. And that's what happened. I don't think that makes me bat blank crazy, as a council member has put out there. I don't think it makes me incompetent. I think it makes me human. And I know that everybody in this room probably in some way, shape, form, or fashion has been affected by someone committing suicide. At least a colleague, a friend, etc. So what I wish to do with this opportunity is to bring that to the forefront and tell you people none of us are above beyond having their worst day. You know, as a public figure, it's out there now. Not proud of that day. It was not my finest hour. But am I crazy? No. Am I competent? Absolutely I'm competent. I'm competent enough and I'm confident enough to tell all of you now my bit of dirty laundry from October 2nd. And now you know why. And so we can put all the rumors to rest. There was no, it happened in my backyard. I didn't leave the house. I went in the backyard. And so I just wanted to bring that out to the forefront. And I would also encourage people, though, because I do have this moment. If you know somebody's going through a whole bunch of bad stuff at once, reach out to them. Just don't, like, assume they're okay or they're taken care of. You know, maybe just like that one phone call or an email. Hey, girlfriend, you doing okay? Stop by. Because I'm not saying that would have changed me from being to the place I was, but it maybe would have helped.
because my one person that I depend on, my husband, we were having a problem, like I said, that we didn't really know we were having, and so I didn't have that to lean on. So I was just isolated. So I would encourage you to pay attention, be aware of your neighbors, your friends, even like your Facebook friends. If you see somebody posting things that are just kind of getting heavy, reach out. And I thank you for your time and understanding. And like I said, it was not my best day. It's not who I am. It's not who defines me. But it is now part of me because I know better now. And it won't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you all. No. That being said, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 7:46.